In the late 1860s, where the vicarage currently stands, a small Anglican church is built with timber cut from nearby trees. The building is opened on the 1st of January 1871, 150 years ago, and services are held at irregular occasions. So later this year, we will be celebrating our 150th anniversary. Then a few years later, in 1889, the church building, this building, is opened. It costs £430 to build. Given now we've been meeting here for over 130 years, I dare say we got our money's worth, don't you? I have here a hand-coloured photograph of our building from around 1950. This is what our building looked like over 70 years ago. And it's a remarkable how much hasn't changed. Of course, not everything is the same. We're about to install this, a 75-inch large screen TV. It'll be, for those of you who struggle with eyesight, this will be really good for you. It'll be clear. It's going to go up on the wall. I'm looking forward to it. But as much as I've analysed this photo from 1950, I couldn't see anywhere a 75-inch TV. In fact, I couldn't see a small TV or a projector either. Makes you wonder how they survived back in 1950. But as you look at it, you can see that the hymn board and the psalm board, well, they haven't moved. The pews and the communion table, they're exactly the same. This preaching stand here has a plaque on it from 1938, and you can see it on the right there it is. It's inspiring to consider how many hymns have been sung in this building. How many prayers have been offered from the very pews that you now sit. How many lives have been transformed in this church through the reading and preaching of God's word. How many saints have been comforted as they have come forward to receive the sacrament. All this in our small but beautiful building. It's humbling to consider all the believers that have been baptized, all the couples that have been married, all the loved ones that have been farewelled, all in this small but beautiful building. Friends, we have a rich history. We stand in a long tradition of faithful saints who have gone before us. Of course, over 150 years, as with any church, we've had our ups and we've had our downs. In the 1950s, under Reverend Lovett, we were facing financial difficulties. A large committee was formed to tackle the problem with an extensive stewardship campaign. However, despite the great efforts, apparently the result of the campaign was disappointing. Under the 10-year incumbency of Reverend Doig, the financial state of the church continued to decline, so that by 1973, at the end of Reverend Lacey's appointment, I quote, the parish of St. John's, Hillsville, including Yarra Glen, was nearly bankrupt, and the bishop was proposing to join Hillsville to Warburton. However, at the instigation of Yarra Glen, a guarantee of funds was made to the bishop to enable the appointment of a new vicar. Thank you, St. Paul's, for bailing us out. Reverend Des Lowe becomes our next vicar. And someone's shared with me that Des Lowe is still alive and he worships at St. Alfred's in Blackburn. Well, unfortunately for Des Lowe, this may have been our lowest point. Listen to his vicar's report in the 1976 annual meeting. I feel uneasy about the general attitude which seems to have developed over the last few months, especially at Hillsville. I am most aware of a pervading tiredness on Sunday mornings. Our worship at Hillsville has developed a deadness that at times I feel unbearable. Sometimes to lead the congregation in worship feels more like carrying a lead weight than lifting up our united praise to God. Wow. What a disappointing time in the life of our church. Pastors often talk about blue Mondays. When the Sunday services don't go well, we wake up on Mondays feeling blue, sad, depressed. Mondays can be hard for us, and it sounds like Des had his fair share of blue Mondays. Fortunately, he's a bit more positive about St. Paul's. At Yarra Glen, my concerns are somewhat different. At least there, I get some response from the congregation, and the singing may not be beautiful, but it is at least hearty. Friends, can I just say, I don't mind if our singing is not beautiful, as long as it is hearty and enthusiastic. When we sing well on a Sunday, I have a fantastic Monday. I keep singing the hymns over in my head on the Monday. It's wonderful. Des concludes his vicar's report. 1976 may well be a turning point in the history of this parish. Either the present trend will continue and we will begin to slip downhill once more to join the ranks of parishes in trouble, or the Holy Spirit will shake us out of our apathy and lead us forward on the basis of renewed faith in the sufficiency of Christ for all things. Well, by the grace of God, it was a turning point, and for the good. The 1980s were probably a high point for us. Under Reverend Gordon Hargraves, the church undergoes renewal. The St. John's Hall is built and paid off within 6 years. It was a step of faith. And by 1983, for the first time, after more than 100 years, our church receives no financial support from the diocese. Unfortunately, sadly, that is no longer the case. We currently get a lot of support from the diocese. Friends, our church has had her ups and had her downs. It's all part of our history. It's our story. And of course, the story isn't over. I wonder what historians will say about us and this period in our church's life. Undoubtedly, they will talk about COVID and the lockdowns, but my hope and prayer is that history will recognize and remember and talk about a new turning point. That this will be a time of renewal and growth for our church, a time of financial health and investment for the future. Brothers and sisters, what legacy are we leaving for the future generations of our church? We have been greatly blessed by those who've gone before us, but how will we bless those who come after us? In talks with the parish council, it was agreed that we don't want to be responsible for neglecting and running down this beautiful building that we've inherited. For our sake, for the sake of those who come after, this building, it needs work, renovation, restoration, renewal, refreshment. It will take a new investment of money, and that is what we are asking church members to do, to give a one-off offering towards this building. However, we are not asking for your money. I was at a church that was preparing to give an offering when the pastor announces, "Please take the wallet from the person next to you and give as much money as you want." In other words, don't give your money, give their money. Now, obviously, the pastor was joking, trying to get a laugh. I guess the logic is, if we are giving someone else's money, we will be more generous. Now, don't worry, we're not going to try that here. However, next week, as we take up a Thanksgiving offering for renovating our church building, I'm not asking you to give your money. I'm asking you to give God's money back to Him. We don't want your money, we want God's money. Allow me to explain. God owns everything. Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Everything on earth belongs to the Lord. All the animals belong to the Lord. Psalm 50, every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. All the money and wealth in the world belongs to the Lord. Haggai 2, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. Our lives and bodies belong to the Lord. Psalm 100. Know the Lord is God. It is He who made us and we are His. And God owns us twice over. Yes, He created us in His image. And however, even when we sinned and rebelled against Him, the Lord purchases us back. 1 Corinthians 6. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. The price was the blood of Jesus. On the cross, Jesus ransomed and redeemed us from sin and death, and thus we belong to Him. 1 Peter 2, we are God's special possession. Friends, the point is very simple. God owns everything, including you. Your life, your body, your time, it all comes from Him. All your money and possessions are His. Your house, your car, your clothes, your expensive smartphone, laptop, camera, jewelry, my three chickens, Barry's cows, your pets, the food you eat, the coffee you drink, the air you breathe, it's not yours. It's God's. The church building, it's not ours. This is God's building. Our God graciously, generously blesses us with these things. James 1, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. One day in the 18th century, a distraught man rides his horse up to John Wesley shouting, "Mr. Wesley, something terrible has happened. Your house has burned to the ground." Wesley weighs the news and then calmly replies, "No, the Lord's house has burned to the ground. That means one less responsibility for me." In my previous church, I helped a young adult learn to drive. I had insurance in the car, but if she crashed it, the excess payment was still going to be very high. It was going to be expensive. Nonetheless, I let her drive because if she crashes the car, if she drives the car up the back of a truck, it's not my problem because it's not my car. God's car, God's problem. And the principle still stands, right? If you ever need to borrow a car, come and ask me. I don't own a car, but God does, and I have the keys. He's lent His car to me and I will gladly lend it to you. Now, if God owns everything and we don't, what does that make us? It makes us His managers. We have been created in God's image, in God's likeness, to look after His creation. We manage God's world. God's assets, if you will. Everything that God gives us, we manage it for His sake. We are like investment managers, money managers. Our name is on God's account. We have access to some of His money and assets, and we invest His money in such a way that benefits God. So, how are we managing and investing God's money? With all the material wealth, property, and possessions that God has blessed us with and put and placed under our care, are we taking it and using it for our own sake, or are we investing it for God's sake? Because friends, one day we will undergo a job performance evaluation. Romans 14. We will stand before God's judgment seat. Each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Just as fund managers give annual reports to their investors, so we must give a lifetime report to the Lord for the ways that we have managed His blessings to us. And so surely we don't want to be like the wolves of Wall Street, who take the wealth of investors and use it for their own selfish gains. No, we want to be faithful, wise, selfless stewards who manage God's wealth to bless God and to bless others, to love God and to love others. During last week's power outage, my kids needed a bath. So I took them to the house of some other church members here. They had hot water, we didn't. And these members of our church welcomed us with open arms. They knew that God had abundantly blessed them so that they could be a blessing to others. And they were a blessing to me and my kids. I had a shower, they had a bath. God blesses us so that we can bless others. In 1 Chronicles 29, Israel is giving generously to build the Lord's temple in Jerusalem. And here we have this great prayer from King David. This prayer gets to the very heart of what we're talking about today. Praise be to you, Lord. Everything in heaven and earth is yours. Wealth and honor come from you. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand, and it all belongs to you. Whatever we give to the Lord comes from him. In the first place, our God is the God who gives. He is gracious and generous to us. He has given us life and health. He has blessed us with money and possessions, with food and shelter, with friends and family. It's amazing. But most of all, God has given us his Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us on the cross. For our sin. God has given us his Holy Spirit who lives in us. He has given us his words, the Bible, and he has promised to give us eternal life in God's everlasting kingdom with him. Because of our sin and disobedience, we deserve none of it. But the Lord is merciful and gracious. He gives to us. He lavishes his grace on us, and now he invites us to give back to him. And friends, this brings us back to the Thanksgiving offering. This Thanksgiving offering that we're taking up next week, it's about us giving back to God, investing his money into this, his building, so that God's church may grow and that his kingdom might advance in the Yarra Valley and beyond. Now, I don't know what happened when you arrived. Hopefully, you received a letter from the wardens. Did you receive a letter from the wardens? Excellent. In this letter, you will find details of how it is that we can give either electronically or using the envelope. Friends, in that letter, you'll see, and in the newsletter for June, you'll see that the job is a big job. So we're asking our members to be generous and to give as they are able. I know some of us here are under financial difficulty. It has been a hard economic time. I get that. So some of us won't be able to give much, and that's okay. I understand. Others of us will be in a position where we can really stretch ourselves and give much more, and praise the Lord for that too. But whether your offering is big or small, as you give to God, trusting in his Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord is pleased. And that's our goal, to please the Lord. Your offering is between you and God. I can assure you, I will have no idea what people give. I have told Narelle, I do not want to know about the electronic transfers. I don't want to know. It's between you and God. I will know how much I give. So friends, I encourage you, spend time in prayer this week and consider how generous you can be. And please come along next week for the Thanksgiving offering. And I'll say this, even if you do not feel that you can give anything, that's okay, but please come to church anyway. I do not want money. I never want money to be a barrier for your relationship with God and the church. Now, I will say this. I know there are no members of St. Paul's here, but I do want this to be on the record that we have not forgotten or given up on St. Paul's. St. Paul's have bailed us out in the past, but now St. Paul's is going through a hard time. We're only meeting once a month, but we are still committed to St. Paul's. We're praying, we're planning, and Lord willing, St. Paul's will grow again. We've run the Alpha course. We're doing a monthly lunch there. Next term, I'm hoping to do some dinners there over winter. So we're still invested. We're still committed. St. Paul's is part of us. We are one church, Yarra Valley Anglican Church, with two sites, Yarra Glen and Hillsville. So friends, please pray for St. Paul's, and Lord willing, one day we can invest in their building as well. Friends, let us pray. Merciful, gracious, generous God, if nothing else, I pray that you will impress on us again how generous you really are to us. It's very easy for us to take for granted all that you have done and continue to do in our lives. But we take a moment today, next week, to say thank you. And Father, I pray as a result of this morning and as we go out into our week, help us to see again and again your good graces to us. And help us to be aware that for all the graces that we see and all your generosity that we see, there are probably hundreds or thousands of other things that you give to us that we're not even aware of. You are a good and gracious and generous God. And so we praise you and we thank you. And now, good Lord, we ask that as your image bearers, that we would be good and gracious and generous children of yours. Help us to manage all that you have given us well. Help us to be generous. Help us to be a blessing to this church, to the future generations of this church, and to this community, we pray. We offer all this in the name of the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.